So welcome everybody. Welcome to today's teleseminar on healing the hurt of separation. My name's Georgie and my co-presenter's name is Lyra. So we know your time is precious, so we thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy lives to think about parenting and for doing all the juggling that you have to do to be able to join us for this teleseminar. We hope you get some fresh ideas that you'll take away from this teleseminar on healing the hurt of separation to try out with your own children. So there are several parents registered for this call from all around the world, and so I'd like to first talk a little bit about hand in hand to allow people who are joining the call a little bit late to settle in. So Hand in Hand is a non-profit organisation based in California with instructors all around the world, including myself from Melbourne, Australia, and my co-presenter Lyra, also from Australia, from the Southern Highlands, who is also, as I said, from Australia. So after many thousands of hours of real-life experience working with parents and children, Patty Whistler founded Hand in Hand in 1989 under the name the Parents Leadership Institute. Hand in Hand has a wide variety of ways to support parents really well. There are many free articles on the website, the core booklets that talk about this approach in detail, podcasts of teleseminars like this one available for sale on the website, one-on-one support through consultations, self-guided classes from the Parent Rescue Series, instructor-led in-person classes, instructor-led online classes, classes for professionals such as therapists, psychologists, nurses, online Yahoo discussion group that supports parents around the world every single day, and a very inspiring blog with parent success stories based on this approach. So you can find all these resources on the Hand in Hand website, which now has a new fresh interface to make it really easy to find all of these resources. So just a little bit about Hand in Hand's mission. Hand in Hand's mission is to support parents and provide them with the insights and skills they need to listen to and connect with their children in a way that allows each child to thrive. Hand in Hand's vision is a world that really supports the difficult work of parenting and fosters meaningful personal connections to move us forward toward a sustainable and peaceful world. So there are a few core beliefs that support Hand in Hand's mission. Firstly, that children thrive when they have a warm physical and emotional bond with their parents. That parents want to be close to their children, love them fully, and see them thrive. That feeling disconnected and stressed causes both children and parents' behaviours to flare and connection to break down. That listening, parent to parent and parent to child, is the key strategy for building connection. It conveys a deep respect and creates enough safety over time to dissolve the emotional tensions that disrupt caring relationships. So when parents listen well, set limits well, children instinctively offload their negative feelings and regain their sense of connection and good judgment. A good listener can help parents feel less isolated and stressed. And with genuine support for the hard work of parenting, parents can strengthen their connection with their children and repair it when stress is interfered. So this approach to parenting has an even bigger impact than merely the relationship between a parent and a child. When parents connect with one another to build a strong support system that helps them solve problems and engage in their communities, they inspire those around them by being the agents of change. So supporting connected parenting in a powerful way to reduce all kinds of hurt and harm in the lives of individuals, families, and communities. So we really encourage you to reach out for the support that you may need for your own parenting, so that you and your child can really, really thrive on the deep love that you have for each other. This parenting by connection approach is based on those core sets of beliefs. Okay, so thank you again, everybody, for joining the call on healing the hurt of separation. I'd like to firstly introduce myself briefly. My name's Georgie, and I'm really, really pleased to be doing this Totally Seminar here today with my wonderful co-presenter, Lyra. So, a bit about me. I have three girls. I have a seven-month-old baby, a five-and-a-half-year-old girl, and a seven-year-old girl. Before becoming a mum, I worked as a psychologist. I'm currently non-practicing at the moment as I'm focusing on bringing up my three girls. So when I first became a mum, I was very involved in attachment parenting, and as a result of my interest, I did tons and tons of research in parenting. And as my two daughters grew, however, I really found a need to search beyond attachment parenting and to find resources that helped with managing emotions as well as...
It's Lyra here. It looks like we've just lost Georgie, unfortunately, during her beautiful introduction there, but I will keep going and hopefully she can come back very soon. So I'd like to introduce myself as well. I'm Lyra and I'm Georgie's co-presenter today. So I have two children, Finn, who's five, and Summer, who's just about to turn four. And we live in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales in Australia. And I first heard about hand-in-hand and parenting by connection when my son, my first child, was only a few months old. And I just really resonated with the approach. And so I've done my best to parent this way with both my children since they were born. But when my daughter was born and I was a new mum of two, I took the six-week starter class from hand-in-hand, and that really deepened my understanding of the tools and this approach, and now I really feel like I've got a roadmap and more of a framework from which to navigate all the challenges that come up today in parenting. And I think my journey as a mum has been so much easier and more rewarding because of knowing this information, which is very practical, as well as having that background on the how our brain works, how our emotions work, those kind of things that really complement the listening tools that we teach and learn about in Parenting by Connection. So I'll share a little bit more about how I've used these tools with my two children as we get into the teleseminar. I'm just seeing that Georgie hasn't quite...
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, you're back? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Hi.
I just dropped out. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, good. No worries. Well, do you want to finish off your introduction to us? And then
I'm just going to
my introduction and then we'll keep going. Yeah.
Sure. So as I was saying, that when I found Hand in Hand, I was so, so thrilled to find out about the release of stress through tears and laughter, and mainly the importance of listening to my children. So I also absolutely loved how this philosophy provided me with tools to help with almost any parenting challenge. So I felt so, so lucky to have discovered this pot of gold for my own family and also for my professional life, and being able to share it with the world is just such a gift. So I'd now like to invite Lyra to introduce herself.
Oh, thanks, Georgie. I just went through my introduction while you were off the phone. So
okay,
if you want
problem.
To continue on, and yeah, I'll share more soon. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for that, Lyra.
No worries.
So I just want to say why I was drawn to do this topic. So I was basically drawn to this topic today as I have lots of experience dealing with separation, both with my own children and with parents that I've worked with. And it's such a common, common issue for so many parents. And I really want to share these tools to help as many people as possible, like they've helped me and the parents that I've worked with. So today we're going to be talking about healing the hurt of separation. And there are some key messages for today's teleseminar. Firstly, that many children experience difficulties with separation. And we're going to be sharing some of the ways that this is expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we'll be also sharing with you some information about what's going on with your child when they're feeling the hurt of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, we'll be sharing some ideas about how you can respond to your child in the moment of separation
and work towards healing their fears around being away from you.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start now just saying that separation is one of the premier issues in children's lives. In fact, it's probably the biggest or most common difficulty that young children have.
Yeah.
Some children have very open difficulties with separation, and this can present itself really differently. For example, some can't stand for their mummy or daddy to be very far away from them.
Yeah.
Others glue themselves to their mummy or daddy when they lose their confidence or when they're feeling low. Some have a really hard time getting to preschool or daycare. I can't even count the number of conversations I've had with my friends who've had the same issues at these drop-off times.
Yeah, for
sure. Or when someone takes care of them, for example, a babysitter or a family member. Some children are fixated with needing to be with one parent and get upset if the other is there to take care of them. Some children even get upset if their mummy or daddy move their gaze from one child to another. I saw this recently with a five-year-old and a new baby, and the five-year-old was jumping in front of the daddy who was holding the baby, trying everything to get that gaze back. She just didn't want the daddy to look at the baby. So bedtime is also a big, big time for many, many children to have feelings around separation. They can't go to sleep without certain rituals. For example, I need three stories, I won't have four, I need to be breastfed, I need a trip to the toilet and then lights out, and it just has to be a certain way or they can't possibly go to sleep or stay asleep. So I'm sure many of you listening can identify with one or more of these open difficulties with separation. With my children, I can certainly relate to quite a few of these examples. So on the other hand, some children's fears and worries around separation aren't as obvious. And this was really new information to me when I discovered Hand in Hand as well. They look like they're fine with mummy or daddy leaving and they're able to say goodbye happily. But we're finding that feelings about separation that haven't been resolved present themselves in other ways. So in other words, unresolved or unexpressed fears about separation are often at the root of difficult behaviours. So this can present itself or manifest in different ways, such as through aggression. We're seeing withdrawal, excluding others in their play, not being able to pay attention, whining, pickiness, needing a special object to keep from feeling upset, not being able to make friends or connect with people, displaying disrespectful behaviour, not let anybody play with the thing that they're playing with, or not being able to look at people in the eye sometimes.
Yeah.
So, in fact, according to Patty Whistler, the founder of Hand in Hand, a lot of behaviours that children come up with as they grow out of early childhood can often be traced back to needing to cry hard about separation, about not wanting to leave mummy or daddy. Thinking about my own children, one of them had a very, very open difficulty with separation, whereby she found it very hard to say goodbye at preschool. On the other hand, my other daughter's issue around separation wasn't so obvious. At around 20 months, she went through a period of hitting, and at the time, I had no idea what the cause was, and it wasn't until I helped her with separation at bedtime did the hitting stop. So it's really, really interesting how sometimes the issue of separation isn't very obvious, and sometimes it really is. So I'm now going to hand it over to Lyra, who's going to talk about connection and how easy it is for there to be a break in connection.
Well, thanks, Georgie. Thanks for sharing that too. And, yeah, I think most of you here on the call, and if you've had read anything or talked to anyone who's heard of hand-in-hand parenting before and parenting by connection, we know that it's all about that sense of connection that our children feel with us, and this sense of connection is so much linked to the issue of separation. So we're just going to spend a bit of time thinking about and talking about this need that young children and babies have to feel that sense of connection with us. Our children literally thrive on that connection with their parents, and their brains are wired to be constantly in connection with an attentive adult. So they know that someone will be there to look after them and to help them and to love them. And really, in fact, we're all wired for connection this way. But the younger that we are, the more we need that constant connection. And it's so apparent in young children and babies. Like, we only need to leave them for a moment and they need us again for something. It's like they're constantly searching for that sense of connection. And they do need it in kind of the same way that they need air. Like, it's really vital for their optimum development. However, you're probably thinking that giving this constant attention isn't possible for any parent, and you're right. Mm. Like, we do have to attend to other things on a daily basis. Like, we have to answer the phone, we have to cook meals, we go to work or look after other children, not to mention taking time out for ourselves. So many things can happen where we can't give that full attention to our children. And it's really easy for the child then to feel disconnected or scared because they are so vulnerable. And because of that fragility and because of that real need for that sense of connection, then every child experiences some sad feelings about separation at some time or another. And it's inevitable that we'll have a child who's had moments when they really needed us to connect with them and we couldn't do it. But I also want to say, like, it's not our fault. Like, it's just the way that our culture is set up. Like, we usually only have one parent looking after children the majority of the time. And so it's really hard to offer that constant connection to our children. But the good news is that we can learn to notice how our children signal when they're not feeling connected enough to us. And we can also learn ways of healing this sense of disconnection with us as well. So for now, though, I'll hand it back to Georgie, who can tell us more about how this sense of disconnection is related to the separation fears and anxiety. So thanks
Georgie. So much, Lara. So when a child's distressed about separation, there's usually two causes. Firstly, that the breaking connection is happening right now. For example, the parent goes to work and that just brings up all these feelings. Or the other one is that separation has triggered stored feelings. So in other words, the situation has triggered anxiety from earlier separations. This happened to my daughter, who had separation feelings at preschool drop-off. The preschool seemed to be such a loving and safe space. However, it was clear that the goodbye kicked up stored feelings from somewhere in her past because she wasn't feeling safe. So there are several steps involved to help children heal the hurt of separation. Firstly, we connect well. So increasing children's sense of connection is so important so they feel safe enough to show their feelings. So connecting well, for example, having special time or play listening leading up to the separation increases this sense of safety. And Lara's going to be talking more about these tools a bit later in the call. The other thing to do is to initiate the separation. So luckily, we can help children work through their feelings of separation. So that's the best news. Children need to cry fully and feel frightened about a separation that is about to happen or has already happened. So this way, children offload their fears and grief from being separated or disconnected from their parents, generally through crying. Sometimes children scream or sweat or tremble, and these symbols are actually the outward signs that fear is releasing. And this process is both natural and healing. So I have a personal example of this. So I once lost my daughter at a festival, and oh my gosh, it was a very, very frightening experience for her and me, because I couldn't find her for about a minute and a half, and I remember running around asking everybody I knew if they'd seen her, and she literally just wandered off to the playground without telling me. My goodness, it was very, very stressful for both of us.
But
in this, in this example, it's highly likely that at the moment she was scared and fear went into her. So to explain this, the way that she can offload the fear from that frightening experience, if it wasn't offloaded at the time, is to express these feelings at a later time, the feelings that went in at that moment. And by doing this, the fear will release and leave her body and her emotional memory. So in other words, the way that we get rid of these fears that are stored inside is to initiate a separation and then allow for a long, long tearful goodbye. And this process of showing feelings fully with someone who listens is natural and healthy and really, really beneficial. So when our children are feeling their feelings around the idea of that goodbye, the idea is that we want to stay close, but not too close. So we want children to feel their parents' support, but also to feel the separation that they're afraid of with our loving attention. So it's really about moving in and paying attention, but not fixing it or making it better. So what's needed is to offer small reassurances, but not to actually fix it. So for example, when children tell us that it's time to go, but we don't actually go at that moment, instead we listen to their feelings around it. So when we're saying to children that we're going, we say that we're going to go, but we listen. We listen to their feelings around that. So we linger and say, it's time for me to go now, and allowing the child to keep showing how sad they feel about that. We don't stop that show of emotion, basically. So the thing is that the feelings are actually being felt in the safest possible context, with their mummy or daddy there. They're feeling the feelings about the idea of the separation. So sometimes children cling to us and bury themselves in us, often slowing or even stopping their tears at the idea of that separation. And if this happens, we just gently move them so they can see us, and our attention will help them to feel that fear again with our loving support. So if the child has these feelings, the idea really is to listen to the tears until they're finished. Children really build confidence by unloading their fears with our loving support, and it may take several crying times over days or weeks to relieve all of these fears. But listening to their tears until a child is finished is the fastest way to regain confidence that they are actually safe in the world. And it's really great also to show confidence in the personal place that the child is being left. For example, if you're dropping at preschool, you may want to say that I'm going to be back soon and I'll always come back to you, or the teacher's going to take good care of you, or you're going to be at preschool for a while. So the idea is to show confidence in the place that you're leaving the child or with the person that you're leaving them with while you listen to those tears. So I'm now going to pass it over to Lyra, who's going to talk a bit more about being with children when they're crying about separation.
Thanks, Georgie. So as Georgie mentioned, this way of being with our children can be so healing when we listen to them cry in this way. And we call this tool Stay Listening, and it's one of the tools in Parenting by Connection. And so as Georgie described, we stay with our child and listen while they go through their upset. And while our children cry,
they do need the love and caring of someone who offers them that warmth and safety. So as Georgie said, also this crying process is a healing process when a child has someone to cry with. And what heals the hurt that they've been storing is to let those feelings out and have someone offering connection and caring, but not actually fixing the situation. Yeah. So when our children, when we're in a situation with our child, as Georgie mentioned, like initiating that goodbye, or at any time really that our child is showing feelings of upset and that we're in a place that we can listen to our child, the way that we can help that healing process is to offer all of our attention, like stop what we're doing, get down on their level, kind of offer the eye contact as much as we can, get them to try and, you know, look in their eyes, or offer lots of affection, you know, cuddles, that warmth, and generally a sense of support. And anything that we say in a relaxed tone of voice, and, you know, those small reassurances that we're here and that we're listening. So in essence, the child has someone to listen to while they work through this process of releasing the fear. And so someone hearing them and caring while they feel this upset and then unload the upset can be so healing, because they don't have to carry it and manage it anymore. So one important thing to note through this process is that children will only release those feelings of fear when someone is warm and attentive. So basically, yeah, they won't release the fear if it doesn't look safe or if the parent or caregiver is too far away. So we need to provide that sense of safety and emotional warmth for stay listening to actually work and the crying to be beneficial.
Absolutely.
So the warmth and that safety is conveyed by offering that closeness and attention, as I described, but it doesn't necessarily mean giving the child what they're asking for in the moment. So we don't have to fix it or give in on that limit or that expectation that was set. So we can say things like, "Sweetie, I'm going to sleep on the other bed. I'm not going to sleep in here with you tonight." Or, "I'm going to go now while you stay at preschool, and, you know, the teachers will look after you at preschool," and those kind of things. So we're just giving that reassurance, that empathy, but we're not necessarily giving in to what they want in that moment. So I think you'll find, like, if you try out this way of listening, that and your child has a chance to release any fears that have been stored, then at the end of it, you'll often find that your child is much more confident. So their minds are more clear, they're in better shape afterwards, because they've had a chance to offload that emotional tension that was making it hard for them to connect with us or with other children or their teachers or other family members. It was making it hard for them to feel safe. And also having that tension there makes it hard for them to think well about the situation. So, and one thing that I'd like to share that I've found so helpful when I've been practicing stay listening is to remember that when our children are in the process of crying and releasing the fears, then they can't actually listen to reason. They can't think rationally. And there's, you know, the brain science explains that so beautifully. But what gets through to our children is our warmth and attention. And that's what they feel at this point when they're releasing their fears and having that cry. So that's what we focus on when we're listening to our children, is shining our attention, our warmth, our confidence that they're safe. And if we do need to offer reasons or teach our children something, then we're much better off waiting until the upset has passed and their minds have cleared. Then they're able to think and reflect about the situation rather than in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So Yeah, and I know Georgie had some experience with helping her daughter through a difficult time with separation, so I'd like to invite you to share that with us now, Georgie.
Thanks, Lara. So, yeah, with the preschool goodbye, there were lots and lots of feelings there that I didn't even, that surprised me. I didn't even know my daughter had until she actually started preschool.
Yeah.
So what I did was when I knew that she really needed to work on these feelings, I'd leave plenty of time for the goodbye.
Yeah.
So I'd get to preschool early. So there'd be plenty of time for me to listen to her. And when we got there, I'd begin to say the goodbye. And we had a special couch which we would sit on where she knew she could show me her feelings. And I said something like, okay, sweetie, I have to go now. And she would cry and cry about the thought of me leaving. And I knew deep down that this was what I wanted as she was starting the healing process. But at the same time, it was hard to see her so sad.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So often she tried to bury herself into my body, and I knew that in order to work through the feelings of impending separation, she needed to see me. So I just tried to move her back a little bit so she could feel the idea of goodbye and have a cry about that. So I actually didn't leave, and what was so helpful was for her to cry about the goodbye with me there and have me giving her the loving attention while she cried about the thought of not being there with me. So every time the crying slowed down, I just said, sweetie, I have to go, but you are safe here. So I gave her that confidence in the place. And it was hard to see her so upset, but I reminded myself that these were healing tears. And I also took my feelings of how hard it was for me to my listening partner later in the week so I could offload my feelings around that. So I just kept reminding her that I was going to go. I need to go, sweetie. I'll always come back to you. I'll always come back. The teacher will be here for you, with some of the things that I said. And sometimes I tried the goodbye before we even left home or in the car, and this way she was able to have her cries before we even got to preschool. I also listened to her feelings around separation at home, including bedtime and other times that we were separated. For example, if I had to go out and leave her with her dad, if that kicked up feelings. So whenever there were feelings there, I listened. It didn't necessarily have to just be at preschool. Like I was able to work on these feelings at other times as well. And slowly but surely this process cleared out big, big feelings of fear around separation. And my daughter is now super, super happy to go to preschool and runs off as soon as we get there. In fact, this morning she was just saying to me, Mummy, just go, you can go. And I just thought that was so profound. You know, it's just come such a long way. She was just trying to kick me out of there. So basically, just to emphasize the points that I did, you know, what I did was I really emphasized the safety of the person that I was leaving her with, and that I was always coming back, and that I trusted the person who was caring for her, and I also would tell her when I was coming back. So that was my anecdote, and Lyra's now going to talk a bit more about some of the other tools you can use to help children heal the hurt of separation.
Thanks, Georgie. And that was so beautiful to hear. And I just want to say, wow, what healing work that you've both done over those few weeks or months to clear out those feelings in your daughter.
Thank you.
Great work. So there are a few other ways that we can help our children heal their fears around separation. And this, and one of the most powerful ways in doing this is by playing with them in specific ways. So there are two proactive listening tools offered in Parenting by Connection that involve spending time with our children in certain ways that build that sense of safety and the emotional warmth that they need. Mm-hmm. So the first one that I'll mention briefly is special time, which you've probably heard of it if you've heard of hand-in-hand parenting. And we really love this tool. And basically it's where you set aside a set amount of time to spend one-on-one with your child. So we let them choose what to play or what to do, and we shine our attention and our warmth and just delight in them and whatever activity they choose to do. Mm. And doing this regularly can be so powerful in helping your child feel close to you. And in terms of separation, special time can be so healing in that it's a really powerful way to reconnect after a separation. Mm. Or a way to kind of top up your child's sense of connection or top up their cup, fill their cup full of your love and attention before a separation occurs. So there's lots more things I could talk about with special time, but I'll keep it brief here so I can talk about some other things. But if you're interested in learning more about that tool, I really encourage you to look it up on the Hand in Hand website to find out more about special time and how it can be used with separation. But the other playful way that we can connect with our children is through a tool that we call play listening. Mm. And you probably already do this. It's the games that we play when we give our children the upper hand. We put them in charge of the relationship for a while and be the less powerful one, the less competent one. You know, we're being silly and goofy and those kind of things. And when we do this, we build the confidence in our child and trust in that relationship very quickly. So it increases the sense of connection that our children feel, and that can be so healing, especially when there's fears that are coming up around separation. Mm. So just to give you an example, like when we're working with our children on healing from a separation, we can play games that help them release their feelings about being away from us. And these games can be as simple as like peekaboo or hide and seek types of games that you've most likely played already, but you perhaps not have realized how amazingly powerful it can be and how important it is for our children to play like this. And doing these kind of games where you hide and go and find them, or they hide, or you hide and they find you, or even just peekaboo games, it gives your child a chance to laugh about the mini separation that you've created in the game, because laughing about a situation is a way to release that emotional tension that our children have stored in their minds as well. So not just through the crying and the trembling and the tantrums and those kind of upsets where they're also releasing those feelings, but playing and laughter is a really great way to release those feelings as well. Mm. Yeah, so, and power reversal games, like ones that where you have your child to pretend to drop you off at preschool and you pretend to cry and cling to them, or if they leave the room, you chase after them and saying, no, don't leave me, here, things like that, where you reverse the role. Notice what brings the laughter to your child and then just follow that. Like, there's no hard and fast rules in playing like this. It's more about just noticing what makes your child laugh and do more of that.
Yeah.
So to give you an example of how this worked with my family, we made up some games that helped with the difficulties of being dropped off at preschool when my son started, and also when my daughter started as well. And while my son, who is, I think he was 4 when he started going to preschool, he didn't do a huge amount of crying around it, not so much like Georgie's daughter, but it was just more of a general unhappiness on preschool mornings and some tightness in his behaviour. So for example, he wouldn't want to get dressed by himself when he usually does, and when it came to say goodbye, he wouldn't look at me or really even acknowledge what I was saying. So I guess it was a bit too hard for him to do so. There was too many feelings there. And also realizing that some of the upset feelings were probably the cause of that, you know, that unease in the mornings. So recognizing that, I decided to play some games around this drop-off scenario and seeing if I could get some laughter going that would be healing for him. So, yeah, so we started on a day when my son wasn't going to preschool and we were just at home, and I asked by starting... I started by asking him if he'd like to play a game called Dropping Off at Preschool. And so he was interested, so that was a good start. And so to start off, we just role-played me pretending to drop him off and say goodbye, all very lighthearted and playful. And he soon caught on and started directing the play. So as children do, they're quite amazing in directing the play to ways that they can heal with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we started with a whole pretend routine of me making lunch where I'd pretend to want the special things that he has only for preschool, saying, please, 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 can I have tiny teddies too? And he would reply, no, no, only if you're going to preschool and you're too big to go. And me pretending to be quite put out, and much to his amusement. And then we'd move on to getting dressed and getting in the car, and then the drop-off, all of this without leaving the living room. It was just kind of played out. And always I would plead to come with him or have what he was having or do what he was doing, and always he would laugh and say, no, you're too big, or no, mums don't come to preschool, with a lot of laughter. And so the more silly and pleading that I was, the more he laughed. So
yeah.
We just did that more and more. Yeah. So we had a few practice games on non-preschool days like this, and then I was ready to play on a preschool morning, and so I made sure I allowed a bit of extra time, and it worked really well, because as soon as I saw him getting a little bit upset about the day, I would ask playfully, I said, oh, do we need to play that dropping off a preschool game? And he would readily agree, and we'd play, and he'd laugh a bit, and you know, do the same kind of things, and then continue getting ready. So, yeah, we did this on and off on our routine through the morning and for the next few weeks after that, and it just started to make the goodbye so much easier.
Wow.
Like, it took it did. And it took a few more months until he was able to sort of look me in the eyes and give me a hug and a kiss goodbye, but I knew we were making progress right from the start, as the mornings were just so much more fun when we were both playful and a bit more lighthearted, and he was much more cooperative and able to get ready on time as well. So any ideas around that you can, hopefully you can kind of play with those ideas and see what kind of games that you can make up for your children.
Yeah.
That might help. Yeah. But also I'd just like to mention the other tool which Georgie mentioned briefly too, about the feelings that come up for us when, you know, we are listening to our children cry a lot about a separation, or, you know, getting ourselves into that place where we can think of games and we can be playful. Sometimes that's really hard, like, and all these ideas that we've given on today, like listening to the crying or playing in that healing way, it might make sense in theory, but when we go to practice them, we may notice that we have those big feelings that come up to the surface as well. And so this is what makes parenting hard emotional work. I just really want to acknowledge that, you know, we've got all these feelings about this as well. So we need a way to be able to top up our cup as well, so we can be more present and have more to give to our children when they're in these throes of emotion.
Yeah.
And the tool that Parenting by Connection offers to help with this is what we call listening time or listening partnerships. So meeting up with another parent and listening to each other talk without offering advice or interruption, and just shining your attention and warmth on them. And this can go a really long way to helping us kind of sift through our thoughts and gain some insight into why we might be reacting so much to a certain situation or behaviour with our child. I found this so helpful personally. So we really encourage you to reach out for the support that you need so you can help your child through their own emotional storms. And there's lots of information on listening partnerships on the Hand in Hand website, and there's even a self-guided online class where Patty talks through the details of it in videos as well. So, and lots of anecdotes on the blog about how that's been helpful for other parents. So I encourage you to reach out and find out more about listening partnerships and how that can kind of complete the picture in terms of you listening to your child but having a listener for yourself as well. Yeah, so I'm just going to hand it back to Georgie now for the next part of our call.
Thanks for that, Lara, and I loved hearing that anecdote with you and your son. Okay, so I would now like to open up the call for questions. If you have a question or a comment, you can press star 2 and we'll open up the line for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see we've got, is it Laurie from New York?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi, I have a question about stay listening. You talked a lot about staying close, and I'm having some trouble. My son is dealing with some serious fears, and a lot of it is my husband being around or not being around. We just got back from a week vacation, and now he's back at work, and it's hard for him.
Yeah.
So he's doing a lot of crying, and I'm trying to stay listen. And while he's crying, he's telling me he wants to get down or out, which is his way of saying that he wants to get away from me. And if I let him get down, he goes far away to where there are toys or some other distraction, and he stops crying. And so some of the time I've allowed him to just kind of push against me and resist and kind of almost wrestle in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem to help him to get some of these feelings out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also concerned that I'm ignoring his feelings by not listening to his request. And I'll say to him that it sounds like it's hard. You really want to get down or you really want to get out. I understand. But mommy's just going to stay close to you right now. But I feel like I end up with this very hard time trying to decide if I should let him down. Does he need a break from the crying? And it seems like if I get close, but I don't actually hold him, he doesn't let go.
Right,
so I'm wondering
the
best way to handle that.
Well, it sounds like you're so in tune with him. And I think one of the things that's really important to know if you're helping children with fears is that sometimes it does get physical and sometimes they do need to push against something. And it sounds like that you're really letting him do that and letting him feel it in his body. And, you know, that's a really normal thing that we see when we're helping children with fears. As I said earlier, you know, it might come out through trembling or sweating. It might come out also that they need to push or kick, something to push against when they're working through these fears. So allowing that to happen while keeping yourself safe, you know, is really important. And just having that awareness that that is part of, you know, this expression of fears coming out. And I wonder if Lara has anything else to add to that.
Yeah, thanks, Georgie. And no, I think, I agree with everything that Georgie has said and really can see, Laurie, that you're really listening and being there for your son. And the only thing I would add is that, and it sounds like you're doing this already, but just for those listening as well who might be trying this out and holding our children in that way so they've got something to kind of push up against and can be so healing and can be very beneficial in helping them release that tension, However, if we're at any point feeling tense ourselves, or if we're feeling a bit like we, you know, kind of want to overpower them, or, you know, hold them there, just like, oh, just get it out with, you know, those kind of feelings, which I don't get a sense that you are feeling that, Laurie, but just to, you know, make it clear for everyone else too that we can't, it's not helpful for our children to be held when we're feeling tense ourselves. So if we can't listen in a way that's relaxed, a way that's really nurturing for our children, then we need to let them go and kind of come back to, you know, a different way of being with them at another, you know, or try again at another point when we are feeling that relaxed and present. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's a very good point. And then it's been, it certainly hasn't happened, but I can see how it could.
Yes.
I guess the crux of this is, do children need breaks during stay listening in general to kind of recoup before they can go back in? Or is it better to try to help them get through it? I've heard, I think one of you mentioned too, like, you know, saying, I really have to go now, so that it kind of triggers them back into it if they're pulling out of it when they're not really done. Or is it better to just kind of let him run off and do something for a little bit? And because it always comes up again, it hasn't, it's not done, you know?
Look, children know exactly what they need to do to heal. And that's right, Laurie, exactly what you said. You know, if it doesn't come up at one time, it will come up at another time, because they instinctively know how to heal. And the other thing is that, yeah, I did talk a bit about refreshing the hurt, so bringing it back to them by, you know, making eye contact, letting them not sort of huddle into you, and, you know, saying things like, I'm going to go now. And the reason that, you know, the idea is to refresh the hurt is so they can get those fears out, and they can express themselves with our loving support. So, you know, in terms of if they need a break, I think if they stop, then, you know, that's, you know, they're done. But what we try to do is that we try to get them to feel the fear with our loving support, and let them work through as much as they need to at that time. And often children will sort of show you when they're ready to stop. And
okay.
Yeah. Lara, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think that's, you answered that well. And, yeah, I think only that it would be, it's helpful to remember that our children do release those feelings in, like, in chunks, so they might not necessarily need to get it all out in one go, and they can come back to it for sure. Yeah.
So you think that, just to clarify, you think that when they're ready to stop, that they probably will stop crying, rather than express that they want to get away, they would probably calm down and decide that they are done with this for right now?
Yeah, like I think that I would try to, you know, bring up those feelings again. And if they're done, you will see that they're done. Yeah.
Okay.
Or often they just stop and they run off and they're fine. And, you know, it's a real clear-cut thing that they're done. You know,
because he's sobbing uncontrollably and trembling and saying down. So he's not really done. He's just, okay.
Yeah,
sounds
I think it's sometimes you can really see the children, they run off and they're happy, or, you know, you can really see that that shift. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we've just got time, I think, for one more question before I hand it over to Lyra. So is there any more questions? No? Okay, well, I might hand it over to Lyra now to finish off the end of the call.
Sure. Thanks, Georgie. Yeah, and thanks for your question too, Laurie. I think that it's a... asking these things helps other parents on the call or who might be listening to the replay to, you know, chances are you're not the only one thinking those things. So, yeah. Okay, great. So we've come to the end of our call. It's time to wrap it up. So I'd just like to take a moment just to share again the main messages for from our teleseminar today. So as Georgie mentioned, like the separation challenges that we see in our children are such a part of childhood, and they can manifest as fear and anxiety in the present moment, or in other challenging behaviours such as aggression and withdrawal or whining, those kind of things, which can be linked to past experiences of fear around separation. And we talked about how we can help our children to heal that fear of separation. So we talked about the tools of stay listening, where we stay and listen in an attentive way as our children cry. And we also talked about how we can help our children heal through play. So, and also the very important aspect of having someone listen to ourselves, as the feelings that are kicked up for us when we listen to our children in this way need somewhere to go as well. Okay, so I hope we've given you some insights in how we can help our children with separation today, and we hope that you've enjoyed the teleseminar. And I'd just like to spend another minute or so just talking about what else is coming up from Hand in Hand. So Patty and the team at Hand in Hand has made a new video series on separation, and that will be available really soon on the website, handinhandparenting.org. But if you'd like to be notified when it's released, you can email Molly at handinhandparenting.org and she'll put you on the list. And the other exciting thing that's coming up is that there is a new Hand in Hand Parenting book written by Patty Whipler that's will be released early next year, but we've got the first opportunity to pre-order it next Tuesday, the 15th of September that's at 4 o'clock in the US, and Pacific time in the US. And our first opportunity here in Australia is on Wednesday, September 16th at 9 o'clock Sydney time. So that's a really exciting thing, to have a Parenting by Connection book. So check out the website, handinhandparenting.org, or also the Hand in Hand Facebook page. If you just type Hand in Hand Parenting into Facebook, you'll be able to see that page come up, and you can follow that, or if you haven't looked at that already. So also on the website, there's so many other free resources that we can help you out with. There's the monthly newsletter, there's heaps of articles on different parenting topics, and you can also join in the free email discussion group that's based in Yahoo. So there's lots of resources there to help you out with parenting by connection. And also, if you want to work with an instructor and learn these skills more deeply, we offer the 6-week-long starter class, and that's the signature class that Hand in Hand Parenting has developed. And it always receives great reviews, and it really is the best way to learn the approach. So the class's sizes are small, and you receive lots of personal attention. So, Georgie, you've got a class coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Thanks, Lyra. So I have an online one, an online Parenting by Connection starter class coming up in October.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I've got a couple of classes starting here locally around the Southern Highlands and the Shoalhaven area of New South Wales, one in a 6-week starter class in Bomaderry, and also a Tears and Tantrum class, which is a 3-week class in Mittagong. So all of those events, Georgie's online class and my local classes, you can find the details on the events page on the Hand in Hand Parenting website.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, and the other thing I'd like to mention that is Hand in Hand Parenting is a not-for-profit organisation that depends on your donation to provide things like this free parenting call and the many articles on our website and the discussion group, and also scholarships for classes and instructor training. So it's easy to donate on the website, and any amount helps. So together we can work to support parents from all over the world.
Okay, so yeah, we'll wrap up the call. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you've enjoyed our teleseminar, and it's been really wonderful to have you here with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the call. We've really enjoyed having you with us. Thanks so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.